Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, text number 11. Tatveti krityam upasiksha yatopadesham.
Tatveti krityam upasiksha yatopadesham.
Jenaisha me karsit. Jenaisha me karsitotiriram. Sayatma. Got to concentrate on this one. Ye naisha me kashito tiri ram sayatma.
Ye naisha me kashito tiri ram sayatma.
Sid ye tate krita mano bhavadashitaya.
Sid ye tate.
Dinastadisha bhavanam sadrisham vichakshpa.
Dinastadisha bhavanam sadrisham vichakshpa.
Tatreti krityam upasiksha yathopadesham.
Tatreti krityam upasiksha yathopadesham.
Yenaisha me kashito tiri ramsayatma.
Yenaisha me.
Siddheta te krita mano bhavadarshitaya.
Siddheta te krita mano bhavadarshitaya.
Dinastadisha bhavanam sadrisham vichakshva.
Dinastadisha bhavanam sadrisham vichakshva.
Tatreti krityam upasiksha yathopadesham.
Tatreti krityam upasiksha
Yenaisha me kashito tiri ram sayatma.
Yenaisha me kashito tiri ram sayatma.
Siddheta te krita mano bhavadarshitaya.
Siddheta te krita mano bhavadarshitaya.
Dinastadisha bhavanam sadrisham vichakshva.
Dinastadisha bhavanam.
Tatra, in that, iti krityam,
what is necessary to be done?
Upasiksha,
perform,
yata,
according to,
upadesham,
instruction in scripture,
jena,
by which
Eshaha,
this
may
my
Karachitaha,
emaciated
Atiriram Saya,
due to intense passion,
not being satisfied,
Atma,
body.
Siddhita,
it may be rendered fit,
te,
for you,
krita,
excited,
mana
bhava,
by emotion,
dashitayaha,
who am struck,
dinaha,
poor,
tat,
therefore,
Isha,
O my dear Lord,
my dear Lord.
Bhavanam,
house,
Sadrisham,
suitable,
Vichakshva,
please think of.
Please.
Devahuti continued,
My dear Lord, I am struck by excited emotion for you. Therefore, kindly make what arrangements must be made according to the scriptures so that my skinny body, emaciated through unsatisfied passion, may be rendered fit for you. Also, my Lord, please think of a suitable house for this purpose. Purport. The Vedic literatures are not only full of spiritual instruction, but are also instructive in how to prosecute material existence very nicely with the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection. Devahuti asked her husband, therefore, how to prepare herself for sex life according to the Vedic instructions. Sex life is especially meant for having good children. The circumstances for creating good children are mentioned in Kama Shastra, the scripture in which suitable arrangements are prescribed for factually glorious sex life. Everything needed is mentioned in the scriptures. What sort of house and decorations there should be, what sort of dress the wife should have, how she should be decorated with ointments, scents and other attractive features, etc. With these requirements fulfilled, the husband will be attracted by her beauty and a favourable mental situation will be created. The mental situation at the time of sex life may then be transferred into the womb of the wife and good children can come out of that pregnancy. Here is a special reference to Devahuti's bodily features. Because she had become skinny, she feared that her body might have no attraction for Kodama. She wanted to be instructed how to improve her bodily condition in order to attract her husband. Sexual intercourse in which the husband is attracted to the wife is sure to produce a male child. But sexual intercourse based on attraction of the wife for the husband may produce a girl. That is mentioned in the Ayurveda. When the passion of the woman is greater, there is a chance of a girl's being born. When the passion of the man is greater, then there is the possibility of a son. Devahuti wanted the passion of her husband to be increased by the arrangement mentioned in the Kama Shastra. She wanted him to instruct her in that way, and she also requested that he arrange for a suitable house because the hermitage in which Kadama Muni was living was very simple and completely in the mode of goodness, and there was less possibility of passions being aroused in his heart. There's two words there. Girls and passions, but they've got apostrophe S's. Why? Oh, that does not. It should just be there's a chance of a girl being born. Why apostrophe S on the end of girl? Doesn't make sense. And then passions being aroused. Why an apostrophe S when it's just passions? Right? Send it to the editor. I'll be accused of changing Prabhupada's books. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dirati Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinatarinam. So, Vedas are a practical guide to the usage of the creation of the universe. And so we find, and Prabhupada quotes here, the Ayurveda gives us instructions on how to live a healthy and happy existence. The Dharmaveda deals with warfare on the opposite side. Love and war. Vastu Shastra tells us how to build a house, how to locate it, how to divide it up, all for the well-being of the inhabitants. So within the Vedas, and Veda, the root is vidya, it's knowledge, it's learning. So there's a proper understanding of things and how to utilize things given within the Vedic scripture. And of course the essence or the cream of the Vedas are the spiritual instructions that are given to bring us to the perfection of life. So there's guidance and instructions on how to manage material affairs, or so-called material affairs. But of course those material affairs become perfect when the ultimate goal of those activities is to bring us to the point of self-realization. And so that's the, if we're to gain benefit from the Vedas, then the topmost benefit, the cream of the milk, are books like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, they naturally are the top. I mentioned this before. When these days, milk is homogenized, right? So that the cream is evenly spread all throughout the milk. But when I was a boy, some years ago, we used to have our milk delivered in milk bottles, right, with an aluminium foil top. Right? And on the top of every milk bottle, there would be cream. The cream would settle on the top. Right? So this is the Vedic literature, the cream of the Vedic literature, that which sits on top of all of the other scriptures, are those scriptures that lead us to the point of understanding. First of all, understanding. And this is the first instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, that we're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature. And that the material world is a place of suffering, basically. These are the first messages of the Bhagavad, and that we have to tolerate it. Right? Even we may follow all of the prescriptions that are given within each of the different sections of the Vedas that help us improve our material existence, but still the message is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. The material world is a temporary place, and it is miserable. That's realistic. That's the realistic understanding of existence in the material world.
We despite the fact that we may become wealthy, influential, powerful, learned, beautiful, at the time of death, everything will be taken away. Right? At death, everybody becomes renounced. Right? When there's a death in the family, then everybody becomes very detached. Of course, you know, Prabhupada says after 24 hours, they forget about it, and it's back to, where is the money? Right? Where is the money? So, we can take advantage. We can take advantage. We should take advantage of the material facilities that we're given. It's very interesting in these pastimes of Kadama Muni and Devahuti how even for the very elevated devotees that they both were, still they had to manage their material desires. Hugely powerful. Right? So when we've been discussing this over the last few days, when Kardama Muni got the opportunity to see Lord Vishnu, he still asked for material facility. Right? And when Devahuti was asking her husband for a blessing, even though he had endowed upon her the benefits of all of his devotional service, and so therefore she was able to share all of his spiritual advancement. And Prabhupada mentions he gave her love of Godhead. So this is very interesting. Even though she had the and he was a very, very elevated devotee, still they had to manage. And so this is the, you know, there's the power of material desires. Right? Any of you noticed? The power of material. Vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam, jiva vegam, udurapashta vegam. So many pushings. And so even, and Kadama Muni and Devahuti are extraordinarily advanced devotees. Such a Kriti Yuga, such a Yuga residence, right? So very special personalities. Yet, they had to manage, and this is a challenge for a devotee, this is the challenge for the devotees, is getting the balance between our material aspirations or our material needs, and there are forces, practically speaking, that are uncontrollable in one sense. If we just try to hang on, you know, hang on and hope that we can control our mind and senses. But rather, we're encouraged or we're instructed to utilize those urges and pushings in such a way so that we manage them, because we're not going to be able to suppress them. As Krishna says to Arjuna, you know, what will be the benefit of suppression? Because it'll come out anyway. You know, he's saying to Arjuna, you're a Kshatriya, so you'll fight. You won't be able to stop it. So, you know, part of self-realization is understanding, yes, that we're not a body, that we're a spirit soul, but also understanding what our place is in realistically in terms of our spiritual advancement and what's required to move. So the Vedas give us instructions how to engage, you know, and I don't think Prabhupada is encouraging us to read the Kama Shastra here. Generally people don't need to be taught how to enjoy sex. It comes fairly naturally. Right? But still, it's Prabhupada does mention it here. And what's the purpose? But very interesting. What's the purpose? So that we can just enjoy sex? No. It's so that the mentality at the time of
conception is positive for the production of healthy children. Right? Healthy children. And, of course, from healthy children comes a healthy society. Right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we get instructions on the dangers of not having healthy children, unwanted children. Right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes there's a tendency to think that the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is not very interesting or not very relevant spiritually. Right? A list of names and places and what's that?
Names,
yeah, conch, etc. But it's a very interesting chapter because, you know, the root of some of the problems that we're experiencing in Kali Yuga is Varna Sankara. And the fact that the children, that may even be us, weren't wanted. Right? Weren't loved. Or were conceived in odd circumstances. Right? And which explains why we have the situations and the environment that we're living in, because the people have come from very confused circumstances. John Lennon said, "You know, I was conceived after my father drank a bottle of whiskey." Huh? And so therefore, you know, the people that come out of those kind of matchings, they're very disturbed. People are disturbed. Upadruttaha, right? We're warned in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that this Kali Yuga is a very disturbed situation. Why we need to read the Srimad Bhagavatam to calm everything down. Why we need to take heed of some of the instructions of the Vedas in order to settle what's a very disturbed and fractured environment that we're living in. So, it's important to understand some of these principles and apply them, but apply them not for sense gratification per se, although the fulfillment of sense gratification is part of the purpose, so that we have a balanced life. But a main purpose is so that we can come to the point of self-realization. Everything needed is mentioned in the scriptures. What sort of house? She's asking for a house. Right? And it's quite amazing. We can see how potent a yogi Kardama Muni is, because he just creates but not just a house. Right? He creates a spacecraft that can travel all over the universe. Right? So, basically Kardama Muni has the capacity, the yogic power, the cities, to completely satisfy his wife, to completely make arrangements for all of her needs. Everything needed is mentioned in the scriptures. What sort of house and decorations there should be, what sort of dress the wife should have, how she should be decorated, etc. The mental situation at the time of sex life may then be transferred into the womb of the wife, and good children can come out of that pregnancy. Yeah. But Prabhupada mentioned it right in the beginning of the purport here. The Vedic literatures are not only full of spiritual instruction, but are also instructive in how to prosecute material existence very nicely with the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection. So the art or the proper understanding is to study the scripture for our spiritual advancement. This is the main purpose. But we can also take advantage of the material, so-called material instructions, but they're not material. Once they're connected, just like in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we get these names of all of these warriors fighting on a battlefield. Right? One of the reasons why Prabhupada objected to Gandhi's preaching, he tried to use the Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for his pacifist philosophy, non-violence, right? Because Prabhupada points out, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield. It's just about, you know, the greatest number of people slaughtered in all of history. How do you get this idea that the Bhagavad Gita teaches pacifism? Huh? So anyway, in the beginning, there's a list of warriors, fighters. Right? And so one might wonder, what are these fighters? What has a list of warriors got to do with anything spiritual? But Prabhupada makes the point, because this is connected to Krishna, and because the battlefield is the place where Krishna spoke the highest philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, so therefore the devotees take interest in the names of those people who were present there. So we take interest in material affairs, but not for the material affairs themselves, for their sake, but rather for the sake of how we can use those facilities in our devotional service. Now, we have to be careful about that, because one can take on material things in the name of spirituality, but misuse them. Or, put it another way, material facility can be used for devotional service, but we have to be careful that the material facility and our engagement in it doesn't overshadow the focus on devotional service. Because material energy has its potency, has its power. And so, and especially with attraction for the opposite sex and sex life, we might think, oh yes, look here. Here's how we can utilize it, but then become bewildered by it. So one has to be careful. There are warnings on how these items should be used carefully in the Lord's service. Otherwise, then the tendency will be that we become focused on, let me dress my wife nicely, let me build a big house. Right? And then in order to do that, we become completely absorbed in our careers and the activities thereof. But that eclipses our focus on spiritual practice and spiritual advancement, which can happen at any stage of our careers as devotees. So one has to understand the proper application of things. You know, on the one hand, we can be too renounced. And on the other hand, we can be too attached. So how do you get the balance of appropriate yukta vairagya, appropriate engagement? And generally the Vedas encourage us to live a simple life. You know, we're pursuing Brahminical culture. And so simplicity is one of the characteristics, one of the features of Brahminical culture, right? Arjavam, tapa, dhammas, dhamma, control of the senses. So on the one hand, we have to manage the urges, the pushings of the senses, and on the other hand, we have to keep them under control also. And our process of keeping our urges and our material proclivities under control is to keep them engaged in Krishna's service. What is that? Kamana manasa gira. What's the beginning of that verse? Nikalas vapyavastasu jivan muktasa ucchate. Anyone? Do you know the first line of that verse? Hare dasye. Yes, we keep kamana manasa gira. Kamana means our actions. Manasa means our thoughts. Gira means our speech. So they're the three levels upon which we act. Hare dasye. We do it in service to Krishna. Then one's considered jivan mukta. Jivan mukta sa ucchate. One is able to. And so Krishna gives us instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, yukta hara viharasya. So a regulated lifestyle, a balanced lifestyle. Yukta hara viharasya. Yukta chetasa kamana. Yukta swapna vabodasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. We can conquer miseries of material existence by having a regulated, balanced lifestyle. Regulated eating, regulated sleeping, regulated work, regulated recreation, Prabhupada says. What's recreation for the Hare Krishnas? Kirtan, yeah, dancing. What's that? Harinam, yeah, well, that's kirtan. Prasadam, yep. Yeah, prasadam, that's recreation. Enjoyment, right? So balance, you know, there's work and there's also relaxing. Otherwise, if you just work all the time, then you'll be stressed all the time. But so that requires some maturity. Therefore, we're recommended to have, you know, guides, senior association who can help us live a balanced life, where our material pursuits don't overshadow or eclipse our spiritual advancement, spiritual progress. And why we study the Bhagavatam? Because in the Bhagavatam we find examples of such endeavors. We find people who make mistakes too. Who's a devotee, famous devotee, who made a mistake and became too absorbed in material life? There's a few of them, but Bharat Maharaj, yep. Who else? Starts with an A.
Ajamil, very famous. Well, it basically concentrates on all the mistakes that Ajamil made. But his perfection was his spiritual. Because we don't want to live our lives like Ajamil. Generally not recommended. It's very risky, very dangerous. He was successful because of the culture, basically, that he grew up in. So, Kardama Muni and Devahuti, very interesting examples of successful materially and successful spiritually. But the strength of their success, even material success, was their spiritual achievements. And so that's what we should be focused on. Our focus should be on our spiritual progress, and then allow the material progress to naturally follow. Does anybody have any comments or questions? What's been done? Which two statements? Sorry, just say that last bit again.
The first is not to jump into the thing.
The river.
Yeah.
Yes.
The desire, and the other side you have to do it in a regulative way.
Yes. So what's the question? How do we work out which is which? Okay. Well, the first example that you give is of the devotee who's deeply absorbed in their Krishna consciousness. And so, and Prabhupada mentioned, so long as we have a material body, there'll be material desires. That's just normal, right? But when a person is deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, the material desires are likened to the rivers that flow into the ocean but don't disturb the ocean because it's deep. And so the Krishna consciousness of a devotee should be, we should be deeply absorbed, and as a consequence of that absorption, the desires flowing in don't disturb, right? Now, that's the theory. But we know, you know, young boys and young girls, between the ages of 20 and 30, you know, generally that's when our material, and even before, that's when our material, the pushings are very strong, right? And so if we're not able to manage those pushings, practically, they'll create disturbance. So in order to mitigate that, then we analyse the psychophysical nature of the individual and then encourage them to engage accordingly, engage in life's affairs accordingly. So for most people, that means getting married. That's the reality. And then finding a, and so that manages the ashram. And we've got rules and regulations even there, right? So it's not just a free-for-all of sense gratification. And then
finding an occupation that's suitable. Vana and ashram. So, but you know, at least in my understanding, a vana and ashram is get married. That's simple. If you're a brahmachari and you can maintain a peaceful existence as a brahmachari in the ashram, then just do that. That's fine and the best. But most of us can't do that, right? So therefore, what's the next step? What's the next step? Get married. You don't have a choice. Prescriptions are already there. And then the next thing is then find the occupation that suits you. Right? That suits your capacity, your temperament, and your what you can actually do. Right? And we have basic prescriptions. One sense, it's fairly simple. It's not very complicated. And, you know, we purify all of those activities by preaching. This is the Sankirtan movement. And that's our spiritual life. And Sankirtan means you have to be strong spiritually yourself in order to set an example for others. And then we go out on the basis of that good example of our sadhana. We then go out and distribute books, distribute prasadam, chant Hare Krishna, distribute the holy name, educate people in the science of devotional service, which in part is learning how to balance all of these things in life. So, Krishna mentions that the itch, as you mentioned, it calm desire is like fire, right? And it burns, right? Burns. Have you heard Johnny Cash's? You haven't heard Johnny Cash's song, "The Ring of Fire." Johnny Cash was a famous country and western singer when I was a boy. And he wrote this song called "The Ring of Fire" because he was an alcoholic at one point in his life. And the song is about alcoholism. And he says, oh, you fall into the ring of fire and it burns. So this is lust. It burns. So how do we control lust? Because it's difficult to control. Arjuna says, you know, how do we control the mind? And because the mind was being disturbed all the time by these impulses. Huh? So Krishna says, by being regulated, and so this is where all the rules and regulations of householder life, of brahmachari life, of sannyasi life, vanaprastha life come in. Basically to discipline us. And a degree of detachment is required. That comes from learning, from studying the shastra, and from putting it into practice. So when the mind says, you know, do this, we ignore it. Right? This is the best method of detachment is to ignore it. When somebody comes to your door and knocks on your door and you don't answer the door, what happens? Right? They'll knock again. Right? Right? They may even knock again. Right? If you just ignore it, they'll go away. So, we need to learn, you know, when and at what stage of our lives should we take care of those desires in appropriate ways and also just to ignore it. Right, and so therefore, the Grihastha ashram is considered to be like the safe position. And even in the, but still, Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, you may be in the Grihastha Ashram, but still there can be accidents. Right? Just like you can drive on the road and obey all of the rules, but still somebody else is an idiot. Right? And so there'll be an accident. Or inattentive, Prabhupada mentions inattention. Right? So we may be inattentive, and so then with a lapse of attention, we there's that little quotation that Chaitanya Charan mentions. You know, many things may fall into our vision, we may become aware of many things, but most of it doesn't require our attention. Huh? But in, just like I saw in the news this morning, a man was driving a Tesla motor car, and apparently these Tesla new cars have got autopilot. There's even pictures of people asleep, but the car's driving itself. Huh? But he was killed. Autopilot, not completely foolproof at the moment. So he was killed because it didn't work properly. In circumstances, apparently, even a human being would have had difficulty to avoid, right, if he was awake. Actually, he was awake, but he couldn't. So for the devotees, we need to be very disciplined and very alert. And you know, we don't have to pay attention to we'll put it this way, not everything that comes to our attention requires our focus. But we try to remain focused on our spiritual life. And we have to pay attention in our material life too. Right? You have to pay attention. Be alert. And balanced. So in order to do that sometimes requires good advice if we're younger, discipline from the guru and the devotees who are guiding us, and later on that'll come from experience. Ignore it.
Ignoring different from suppressing.
Yeah, how is ignoring different
from suppressing?
Suppressing.
Suppression is not.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they're very similar. Well, suppression is, putting it in this light, suppression means ignorance, and engagement means acknowledgement and awareness of our inclinations and then using them appropriately so that we're able to ignore our material proclivities or the pushings through a higher taste. This is what Krishna says, right? Param drishtva nirvartate, so that there's no regrets, there's no misgivings, that one's able to avoid the inclinations of the lower self by engaging the self in activities that have a higher purpose and give us a greater degree of satisfaction. And so there's no lamentation, oh, I couldn't do this, or I couldn't do that, or I couldn't do the other thing. Huh? But rather, I dedicated my life to serving Krishna, and I'm happy I did that. Yes, there were difficulties. But, you know, there's going to be difficulties anyway. Right? Isn't it? You know, sometimes my wife would complain, you know, she's working and sweeping the courtyard or doing something, and one devotee in particular used to come and say to her, oh, Maharaji, you're doing so much. You know, why are you working so hard? And the Chinchuru always complained to me, well, he's going to work and working hard, right?
And I like to work hard for Krishna, so what's wrong? We're all working hard. But some like to work hard for Krishna. And they're happy. The others think, well, what are you working so hard for Krishna for? Well, I like it. Oh, but you're missing out on so much. No, I'm not. So that mood is what's required. That I like to sacrifice for serving Krishna. Yes, it's difficult. And sometimes it's problematic. But that's the nature of existence, is that there's problems. And so better that we solve those problems in Krishna's service than try to make material solutions, because they don't work anyway. We don't promote a stress-free life. I know this is a preaching strategy in India, and I mentioned it before. Have you heard of the Pandavas? Stress-free life, right? Have you heard of Prahlad Maharaj? But those devotees didn't mind the difficulties that came about as a result of their service. And they're glorified for that. So we may not be as advanced as those devotees, but we can take advantage, or we can take heed, we can learn from their examples. That's why we're studying Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And how special, you know, they, practically speaking, were on a very elevated platform of love of Godhead, Prabhupada says here. This is what's being mentioned. But still they had to deal with their material situation at the same time. And they did so appropriately. That's the lesson. So when Kardama met Lord Vishnu, you know, when Lord Vishnu appeared, would you like a benediction? He said, I want to get married. Now that's probably not the, you know, but look at Dhruva Maharaj, for example. What did he want? He wanted a kingdom. Ajamil just was into sense gratification. But the perfection is that because they were engaged in devotional service and became, you know, took advantage of the material facility, but they used that as a stepping stone to make spiritual advancement. And even Ajamil was so fallen, yet simply because, and this underlines the potency and the power of bhakti as opposed to the material influence. The power of devotion can overcome the influence of material energy, of the material energy. And as Radhajivan said yesterday, you know, when we open ourselves up to the spiritual possibilities rather than keeping ourselves closed off behind the curtain. When we open ourselves up, then bhakti has that power to remove all of the material influence. Even if we're using those facilities, material facilities, which might ordinarily be our the cause and the source of our entanglement, but if we use them properly in that detached way, then the power of bhakti can protect us and overcome the influence of the material facility. So, you know, suppression is kind of like hanging on to the material desires, but then kind of, you know, not. Whereas the proper utilization is to take those material propensities and then find out what's the best way I can use these propensities in Krishna's service. And for the basics, it's get married, have a family, get a job, work hard, and then preach at the same time. Be a good sadhaka and preach. Right? And you'll be busy. Right? Right? And give 50% of your income to Krishna. Right? If you want to really be, if you want to make rapid spiritual advancement and be detached, right? Do all of the things that Prabhupada told us to do. If you do that, you're guaranteed of making spiritual progress, whatever ashram you're in. And there'll be challenges. It'll be an extremely exciting life. Huh? Yeah. But then at the end of life, you look back and have no regrets. Okay, made a few mistakes. C'est la vie, they say in French. Such is life. Right? That's life. And that's what Krishna tells us right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? So that's how we learn to do it, is by trying to be a productive citizen and a good sadhaka. And when we can do those steadily, then some time should be put into getting others to realize the real purpose of human existence. So that's preaching. And that's sufficient austerity for us to control the mind and the senses and the proper utilization of those facilities is in preaching. How's that sound? Yeah. You're so darn busy you can't even think about what was it that I wanted to do? What was I dreaming about last week? Huh? What crazy idea did I have that I was going to do? Right? Okay, let's finish here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.